from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. It's been a great Monday so far. Having fun. Thank you.
Yes, it is. But where is the sun, Ursula?
You know what? It's going to come back, as it always does. That's what I say. Even when we have these cloudy days, every once in a while, we need a little bit of a respite. That's why it's so beautiful and green, and then it comes back. We've got beautiful sunny days ahead.
Yes, yes, yes. Hey, coming up at 11:33, I'm going to surprise you with something, because I got some correspondence with a state trooper buddy of mine, that Washington State trooper, and he wrote to me some things that just broke my heart over the weekend, and I have some thoughts about what he had to say to me. So we'll discuss that at 11:33. But right now, it's time for you and I to disagree or agree to disagree. Coming up right now, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
All right, first things first, we talked last hour about the new no-sit, no-lie law that is on the books but not being enforced yet in Everett. They've already seen a decrease in people on the streets ahead of this enforcement. Gee, should this be a policy other cities set or at least look at?
Absolutely. Yes, it should. There needs to be areas to where it feels as if our city leaders and leaders all across the state, you actually have control. Like, look. We can't control the unfortunate problem of those becoming homeless. We talk about the reasons why people are becoming homeless, why they're staying that way. We are now taking steps to address those situations. No doubt about it. But at the same time, there needs to be control that it doesn't feel like it, especially in Seattle, especially what I saw yesterday in Tacoma, especially what you see on a daily basis in front of your mom's place. There needs to be a sense of control. So, Ursula, I believe that this ordinance is good to happen everywhere.
And as controversial as it seemed to be, it does seem to have some kind of positive impact. And the thing that I like about what's happening at Everett is that they were and are still offering alternatives. So the first would be, you've got to do what you can to offer alternative housing and to offer help. But also let them know that if you continue to stay here, you will not be allowed to. And in the case of Everett, it was a small area, but it seemed to work. Whatever it is that we're doing in the city of Seattle in particular is not working. And I am hoping that the Compassion Seattle initiative, excuse me, it's not an initiative.
The charter? Are
yeah,
you
exactly.
talking about the charter?
Yeah, the change that is going to come in November, that can have some of these similar impacts, that there is a, I don't want to say it's a threat, but just the idea that there would be a consequence if you refuse to accept any offer of help or to do anything, because not doing something should not be an option. Allowing them to continue to grow and sprawl out and be in areas where people can no longer go to parks or go to playgrounds or ballparks or schools and feel safe, that's not the answer.
Number two. This year, investing has become much more than just what's on Wall Street and my dad telling me about things to look at on the market. Through social media sites like Reddit and TikTok, more and more people, especially young people, are trying out investing. And many turn to those platforms for advice on market moves. Ursula, should you turn to TikTok for your stock advice?
As much as I love TikTok, I would not go to TikTok for stock advice. Or if I were to consider anything that I see on TikTok, I would make sure that I do a ton of research, and that not does not mean a quick Google search. So I think that the people who are benefiting from these things like Reddit or these groups, they know what they're doing, and they make it look really, really easy. So then other young people want to do the same thing, and then they find out the hard way that they lose all their money. So beware. I would not just turn to TikTok for stock advice. No.
Why not? You can find out a lot of information. I mean, there's all types of good information and bad information, unfortunately, on social media platforms. the person that I get my professional financial advice from, this person is someone who admits that he was the one that was against. He suggested you not invest in Amazon. He did not agree with investing in Apple. So my point to saying
So now you want to listen to him?
No. Well, here's the point by me bringing that up.
Okay.
Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you're wrong. And so, yes, the person I listen to for financial advice is really good at what he does. The reason why I'm bringing that up is he'll even tell you, hey, sometimes I've been wrong. Everybody can be wrong at some point. So sometimes these conversations that are happening right now, this is unprecedented right now. You're talking about, you got young folks, you got folks in their teenage years now and young adults. They're all talking about investing. This didn't used to be. Nobody was, it was only a small percentage of this country that was talking about investing. Now, all of a sudden, now there's this difference of people talking about investing.
I love the fact that they're talking. Absolutely. I love the fact that they're talking about it, but I also want them to make sure that they're informed of the pitfalls and they know of the pitfalls if you don't do the proper research or you just believe that it only can go one direction. Are you drinking or eating? Because it's really loud.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. Sorry. I can hear you gulping.
Sorry about that. Jeez. Hey, let me apologize because I have a new microphone. I have a new setup here. And apparently it's 2021 and not 1997 like I had before. Yes. So, wow. Let me put this away. Whoa.
Yes.
God, no.
I'm glad you're just enjoying, you know, noshing away while we're doing agree to disagree. But
it was water. I mean, I took a sip of water. I make sure my throat is all lubed up. You know what I mean? Man, I didn't know you guys would hear me taking a sip of water. I didn't have no grits.
I didn't say anything the first time, but this time, okay, enough.
Oh,
okay, right. So. In any case, yes, I love the fact that people are and younger people are looking at the whole idea of investing. But based on what I hear from young ones in my orbit, they're only talking about this friend who made $3,000 on a $20 investment. And, hey, I want to jump in, too. It's like, oh, whoa, wait a minute.
Doesn't always work that way.
Exactly.
Number three here, Thelma Sutcliffe of Nebraska has become the oldest living American after celebrating her 114th birthday. She says what she wants to do most, eat with her friends after a year of pandemic restrictions. Gee, would you want to live to be 114 years old?
Yes. And the reason why you heard hesitation out of me is because I believe if you're at 114 years old, like, first of all, that's really excellent. Second of all, there's probably a really good chance that everybody that you used to enjoy life with, they're probably are no longer here anymore. So I think that side of things would have to be a little tough. But selfishly speaking, I want to live on this earth as long as possible. So Ursula, I say yes.
I want to live as long as possible too, obviously, but I've also seen what can happen when either you didn't plan well for retirement or you also are now so dependent on others. And not only do you feel that loneliness, but you're also really dependent. All the things that you used to enjoy are very difficult. You live in pain, like excruciating pain that you can't deal with. And then, you know, quality of life, it's like a daily misery versus living, right? Mm-hmm. And anymore, hospitals and medical technology has allowed us to live so much longer. It sounds like this particular woman,
yeah,
she was independent, all that, and that sounds perfect. And if I could do that, yes.
Friends and family still around, you know.
Exactly. But if I end up feeling like I'm a burden to everybody and I am miserable every day, no, I 118 would be too long.
114.
Oh, 14. Oh, sorry. I added 4 years. 114 is like mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's crazy just to even think about that. Okay, number four here. Our own Rachel Bell had a really cool story about the role astrology plays for some businesses and even the impacts it has on business owners. In her piece, she talks about how Mercury being in retrograde changes the thought process of this one particular business. I'm encouraging people to go listen to it. Ursula, do you buy into astrology?
If you're talking about like horoscopes and that kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, horoscopes specifically,
no,
that astrology.
I don't believe in it because I look at it and usually it's super duper vague. It's like so many other things when you have, whether it's fortune telling, it's so vague that you can try to cram it into your story or your life story and say, oh yeah, that was right on. When in fact, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The woman with the E, that was, you know, someone, you know, three cousins removed.
Right.
And yes, that. So am I ever going to base any life decisions on what my horoscope says? No. The whole Mercury in retrograde, when I heard it, I'll be honest, I skipped. I know Rachel probably did an amazing piece, mm-hmm. but I saw that I have to read so much for the show every day. That's not one of the stories I read. So I'm going to just plead clueless on that one.
The reason why Mercury being in retrograde is a big deal. Apparently, when Mercury is in retrograde, it impacts communication and technology. So during Mercury in retrograde, technology and communication can go awry. That's
sunspots, that does it too. I mean, so a lot of times we have to find out from the network, oh, we've got sunspots, so that does affect, you know, some of our reception and some of the so that part I believe. It's just the astrology as in horoscope part that I don't believe. What about you, G?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, anybody that's listening, if you're an Aries, you understand what it's like to continue to be in first place your entire life, right?
And I thought that was Leo.
I don't know. I don't know. What
you're Leos are pride. I know because I'm a Leo. I'm supposed to be prideful,
bossy.
Yeah, loud.
Leader.
So,
leader. Yeah.
So Ursula, back in the day when you didn't get your you got your news from the daily newspaper. Like actually went to go physically get the paper. When you would see the horoscopes, what sign would always be first? It would always be Aries, right? And so I always took that to mean that we're the number one sign. By the way, I do have Aries. I do have Aries tattooed on my arm. I'm a big believer in astrology. I think the more and more I try not to get too deep into it. I get as deep into astrology as I do into fortune cookies. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, you're a big believer, and then you put them with fortune cookies?
Well, you know,
have you read the fortune cookies lately?
Ursula, don't be disrespectful to the fortune cookies, and here's why. If you get a fortune cookie, and the fortune cookie says, hey, I see prosperity for you the rest of the year, is anybody going to disagree? No. That's good fortune. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, they'll disagree at the end of the year when it doesn't happen. Sure.
The same way I could disagree with myself when I make my weight loss challenge at the first of the year. When I don't lose any weight and I'm actually up on pounds for the year, I go and I do it all over again.
Okay.
So I'm not getting too deep into this. I want to go into the astrology part. Yes. Now, am I as so deep into it, Ursula, to where I wouldn't date a certain sign? No, I'm not that deep. But do I have family members that are? There's somebody listening right now that's saying, I will not date this sign or I won't marry this sign. There's some folks that get deep into this, and I don't knock their hustles at all. So I'm a little deep into astrology, not as deep as others.
Yeah, so but when you were talking about Mercury and retrograde or if we're talking about sunspots, that's like
that's deep.
I look at
that's
that
deep.
Like astronomy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and astrology to me is the based on your signs, that kind of thing. I mean, that's how I look at it. That's probably not, I haven't delved into it. But so as far as you go, G, today's moon will activate your freedom-loving 11th house of associations, friendship, future visions, and sense of belonging in the world. But it will simultaneously clash with rebellious Uranus in your comfort-seeking second house of finances, value systems, and sense of stability. That's your fortune.
Oh, so all that said to me was Zion just turned 18 on Sunday, and today's Monday, and going forth, I'm not giving them another dollar. So, yeah, that's probably a disagreement with finances.
See how you squeeze that in? I'm telling you.
All right. One more here. SpaceX successfully retrieved 4 astronauts after a 6-month stay on the International Space Station. It was a rare nighttime splashdown for the astronauts, and the crew is in great shape. We've heard a lot about space travel over the past year. Gee, should we be focusing on space and space travel right now?
Yeah, we should. We can't do that. I got to correct myself because I've heard myself saying before, we shouldn't be worrying about colonizing outer space when we have so many problems that are going on here. But at the same time, that would be like saying that back in the day when they were trying to figure out how to fly airplanes or how to make automobiles and all those things, maybe they had other problems that they should have been worried about then too. So my answer is yes. Go ahead and worry about what's going on in space. I'm sure our future generations will appreciate that.
And I'm going to say I think that we should continue to invest in space, and I think that it should be something that the government does sponsor, and I'm all in favor of backing NASA purely on the basis of what happened when we had a man on the moon. What happened to the country at that time? That was something that brought everybody together. And I think as we explore other planets, other galaxies, et cetera, I think that there's so much to the human potential. I think that there's so much that can derive from these space missions. And for that reason, I think it is a great investment.
All right, we got one more. I got too ahead of myself. But the Olympics, they're still on, but many are worried with how they can pull it off. The COVID situation in Japan is not great. There's concerns on how volunteers will be protected from the virus while helping out during the games, and cases have been plaguing the Olympic torch relay. Ursula, is it time to pull the plug on the Olympics?
I think it is, just because of where Japan is, or you have to come up with a plan B. Because right now, I think as you mentioned, or as I've read, Japan is really, really slow on both the vaccine and trying to control the virus. I think there's so much that could happen between now and then. You're talking about trying to have big groups of people in, you know, spaces that may not always be outdoors. There are other countries that are involved that are right now, as bad as you may think it is in the U.S., we are doing a lot better than many countries now in terms of getting people vaccinated,
right,
et cetera. So I just can't see pulling it off.
Pulling what off, Ursula?
The Olympics in Japan.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to answer this, and I'm going to go with this one. Yes, keep the Olympics on. Keep it going, Ursula. Because there are some people that have worked their entire life. And for those that want to participate, let them participate. For those that don't want to participate, don't let them participate. But I just couldn't imagine 4 years of training to you, however long you've been training. No, this is more than that. You've been training your whole life, really, for this moment. And then for this moment to be taken away. So I can't sleep well at night saying, Ursula, just cancel Olympics. Just cancel it. I can't do it.
Would the scaled-back Olympics have the same impact for these athletes? Would you still feel the same way and feel like, okay, I got Olympic gold even though half the world couldn't take part?
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
I might be convinced.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, I'm going to share with you a message that I got from someone in law enforcement. He happens to be a very good friend of mine. I want to share this with you guys next. It's G and Ursula. What's up, everybody? It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula, yes, I started the 11:33, so I got your text message at the last one.
Yeah, and our news hour is brought to you by Guardian Operations.
We are just
a smooth operation.
You know it. You know it. Usually I would have saved this for we need to talk, but I've kind of felt like this is kind of a little heavy. Just to give you guys some background, I do have some friends in law enforcement. This one in particular is here in the state of Washington, and he sent me this message, and it had me thinking all weekend. And Ursula, I shared this message with you over the weekend, and I wanted to bring it up here now. I've been trying to keep a positive attitude these last few months, and it just keeps getting harder and harder. I find myself crying way too often lately, and told myself just the other day, I need to get a hold of myself and knock this off. Some of these requirements of us having to work overtime, sometimes when I do work overtime, it requires different things such as 3 stops an hour, and they usually only allow 6-hour shifts at a time. That's 18 stops. I had 2 hours left at stop number 17 and wanted to try to make it to 21 stops. The 18th stop, the guy is an absolute jerk from the moment I made contact. Confrontational, arguing, making me ask 3 times for his info, aiming his phone at me, then yelling at me that I'm not doing my job, and to get back here as I walked away. This shut me down immediately. I was done. I came home and had a minute just to cool things off, and so sorry that I had to vent. And so, of course, we had exchanges back and forth. But the reason why I'm sharing this, Ursula, is there was another thing that I saw that I shared with you as well. And I saw someone's comment on social media. And one of their comments on social media, and it was just, about police officers. And It was a post on social media. And the post said, the Klan used to wear white back in the day. Now today they wear blue. That's so
extreme. It's extreme.
So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you can have an issue and a problem with some of the things that have been going on in this country, or you can have a problem with some of the bad apples that are in policing. But you only add to the problem when we or anyone lumps them all together. Like a post like that to say that all men and women wearing the blue are bad people. Like in any profession, there are, if you want to call them, bad apples. And yes, there are systems in place that have not been situations where some police officers haven't been held accountable. And we have been talking about that. We've been talking through that. And we've been consistently talking about that. Yes. But Ursula, the problem is the social media and the real tough stance that people are making. And I think it's making things worse. Absolutely worse. And we have situations that happen at Chocolate in that situation, which, by the way, glad that that owner came back and redeemed himself and gave an apology for those officers not being served. That was wrong. But this is a big problem. And the way these are happening, possibilities at traffic stops, is not good.
Yes. So, I heard a couple of things in what you shared, and yeah. I also enjoy these conversations that I have with our law enforcement friends. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, you can be critical of certain things, whether it's police, whether it's teachers, whether it's us as journalists or being in the media. Good grief, don't we know what it's like to be, you know, hit with a barrage of everything is blamed on the media, and there's a lot of hatred for what we do today. But just like when people say, it's the media, you can't do all law enforcement, you can't do these sweeping things, because then, again, we create bigger problems than trying to exact the things that are going wrong and actually address those things.
Right.
So when you see what's happening with morale in police departments, like the Seattle Police Department, so you talked about the Chocolate, which was just the recent thing. We've been talking about how SPD has the fewest deployable staff members since the 1980s right now. officers are leaving in large part because they don't feel like they have support from the community. So that all said, it was in some ways refreshing that more and more people are speaking out. But again, it doesn't have to be in favor and in support of police, and I think that's good. But again, we need to move away from just hanging in those extremes.
Right.
Because that's where you get like your state patrol trooper friend who can't even just do his job without people acting on that anger. It is tribalism at its worst, where people are saying like either we're against police or we're in favor of police, instead of just saying, hey, I'm going to be treating everyone with respect. They deserve respect. If you have an issue, address it respectfully.
Yeah. I thought, Ursula, when I was in high school, follow me on this one, I thought that ends, like that whole following mentality of this crowd and this crowd and this crowd, and everybody's doing what each of their crowds are doing. It feels as if it just extends throughout life. Like there's always this crowd, right? There's always this following mentality. Well, if they say it and they think that's to be true, then I must fall onto that. And what's happening is, if you take away social media, I believe that a lot of these problems wouldn't be this way. But social media.
It's not just social media, though, G. I mean, think about even in our own profession and what we do and what sells, what brings ratings, it's causing a divide. It's forcing people to try to find, to belong to one side. You only want to hear, so many people only want to hear everything that they believe in, and anything else is fake news or, you know, either right-wing or leftist agenda, et cetera, et cetera. That is one thing that we commit to on this show. We will find out. So far, so good. But we will find out. We're not beholden to any particular opinion. We are not beholden to any political group. We just want to, you know, raise these issues. So I think there was a point in time, G, when you and I, because we were critical of some of the things that police were doing, there were people who were accusing of us being anti-cop.
Well, yeah, that's low-hanging fruit, though. That's an easy thing to say about us if you don't like what we're saying, right?
But that's so often what happens anymore. I don't like what you're saying, so I'm going to put you in this group, and I'm against you.
Right.
When you can look at one particular situation, call it out, come up with a solution, but don't have to force yourself to be, that is just a bunch of people who are right wing, or that's a bunch of people who are on the left, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. We need to slowly, I mean, I wish it could be overnight, but it won't be. But we need to chip away at that, which social media has certainly exacerbated. But we can't say that, you know, what we do as well isn't contributing. And when I say we, I mean as an industry.
And yeah, for sure. And we got to up the respect, right, Ursula? There's a lack of respect for just people that is occurring these days. And we up that respect, and we might have better results on things. Hey, coming up next, it is time to take your texts, your feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to The G and Ursula Show. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. Really appreciate you guys hanging out with us. But now is time for your text, feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by.
And we're going to start with the news about rollbacks looming large today. 206 says, I am vaccinated, but I know many won't and never will.
360 says, I agree with Ursula. Lock down harder. Keep locking down as hard as we can until our numbers get as low as Texas and Florida.
Hey, did you hear, by the way, this is breaking news in the last 45 minutes, that New York and New Jersey and I think parts of Connecticut are going to be fully reopening in about 2 weeks. And that is because their case counts and hospitalization rates are down. And I think 35% of all New Yorkers are vaccinated. Anyway, that's positive.
Yeah, that is.
206, they aren't hurting them, Ursula. They are fine with it. Let them make their own choice. They aren't closing the business. Government is.
When it comes to COVID cases in schools, 253 says, another way to look at the school outbreak is that the average is below 4 per outbreak. It sounds like the schools are doing a great job containing it. I actually agree.
Chocolate update. 425 says, it's about time that Mr. Wong stepped up to the plate and did the right thing.
425 says, here's a solution. Maybe the police could understand why that employee feels that way and try to work to counteract their own behavior that's causing the issue.
206 says, you have to protect your business, and that message needs to be passed along to your employees. Ew. Unfortunately, this blemish has already been established on that business.
360 says, Mr. Wong did the right thing. Let that business be forgiven.
Richard Sherman's possible return to the Seahawks, 206. I was under the assumption that Pete Carroll and Richard Sherman didn't like each other. At least Richard Sherman didn't like Pete Carroll.
253 says, I would love to have Sherm back on the Seahawks. He would help those young DBs so much.
Vaccines for community service credit. 360 says, vaccines for community service? Coercion at its best. How many students would love to get out of actively participating in their community by simply getting a jab? Silliness.
425 says, what's the problem? I got credits on college for buying science department t-shirts or going to college-sponsored concerts. Why not? Some people are paying people to get the vaccine.
206 says, most places have terminated volunteer positions due to COVID. Without this credit, many will not graduate.
And then 425 says, I totally disagree. Students learn nothing in this version of giving back. I volunteer at my local food bank, which has a dire need for support. Students who are bilingual are a huge bonus. Check it out.
No sit, no lie law. 425 says, I live in downtown Everett. Love this rule. Offer housing or help. If they say no, then they need to move on. It's disgusting we allow them to live like that.
425 says, more cities need to follow Everett's lead.
The Kraken have become the 32nd NHL team. 253 says hockey is back in Seattle. We won the first ever Stanley Cup in 1929.
Okay, we got tons of feedback on the scenarios. And this was regarding the woman whose boyfriend and then fiance of 10 years passed away, and his family wants the ring back. 253 says, the law in most states is the ring is given in contemplation of marriage. If the marriage doesn't happen, regardless of why, that ring goes back.
All right, Ursula, it's time for the mic drop text of the day.
And I don't know who sent this, but it's a good one. How are we ever going to heal and move forward if we don't allow a person or a company to educate themselves and grow and become enlightened? And we want to see that change at Chocolaty and other places, and here it is.
Mm. Very good stuff. Now it's time, Ursula, for your words to live by. What you got?
Just remember that you don't have to disrespect and insult others simply to hold your own ground in an argument. If you do, that shows how shaky your own position is. Just remember that honest debate stops when the name-calling starts. I hope you all have an amazing day.
Good stuff, Ursula. Great words to live by. Paul, thank you for your help, sir. Appreciate you.
Happy to be here. Going to my first Mariners game tonight. I'm very excited.
Hey, fun. Good for you. Good for you. Hey, Ursula, have they scaled back attendance on that, or are they still allowed the same amount of attendance?
No, they have. It's already been scaled back, but so I think they have up to 7,000 people, which is way less.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, Andrew, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate all you do. Thank you. And I appreciate all of you guys for listening to the show. We do this again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Appreciate you guys for listening. Love you for that. And be good.